You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I am super pumped and excited for today's guest. Dan, welcome to Making Bank, my friend.
Josh, I'm excited to be here, man.
Yeah, it's such an honor to have you on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate
this. I think 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, man.
You kept telling me you were gonna come on and
scheduled. I live in the middle of nowhere.
Me too, actually.
It's not often that we're actually together, so this is awesome.
I know. I'm in Ohio,
yeah,
and you're in Canada, so yeah. Those are both middle of nowhere.
There's countries involved
there, yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, so honored to have you on the show today. Super excited to dive in because I know you're like one of those serial entrepreneurs like myself, and you know, we just try to really uncover on the show what, you know, got you started, kind of what makes you tick and everything. And so let's kind of start there. When did you get started as an entrepreneur? And
yeah, I'm going to try to compress 10 years into 30 seconds. For those that don't know my
you can
story.
Go 45.
Well, yeah, okay. I grew up in a really challenging environment. My mom was an alcoholic. My dad was in sales, never really around much. Diagnosed with ADHD when I was 11. And really, my life spiraled out of control to the point where I was 17, driving in a stolen vehicle, drunk and high. Yeah, and, you know, kind of crashed into a side of a house, pulled out a handgun, but it got stuck. Essentially, I decided prior to that moment that I was going to let the police, you know, do their job and take my life. And some reason that didn't happen. I woke up sober the next day and just felt like somebody was looking out for me. And
wow.
Yeah, and it was just kind of like a series of people showing up in my life afterwards. I ended up in rehab and discovered at the end of that process, you know, 11 months of therapy, you know, this Java book on programming. And, you know, I'm a software guy.
That.
Yeah,
yeah. I had one too.
It's just crazy. And so, like, since then, I've just been lucky and blessed. I've built a bunch of tech companies. But, you know, programming became my addiction and entrepreneurship, the ultimate personal development program. So I just feel grateful to be alive, man.
That's super cool. I mean, it wasn't cool, but it's super cool where you are now today from all of that. And, you know, a lot of things happen for certain reasons to develop and shape who we are throughout our lives. And, you know, it's just interviewing so many people and, you know, seeing their journeys and everything and, you know, how they prevailed and how they've overcome a lot of those challenges, whether it was in childhood or throughout midlife and everything else, has set them up for where they are today. So super honored to know each other and everything.
Yeah.
So, so I know some of the businesses in the tech space, I mean, you've started Clarity.
Yeah, that's one that's most well known. Sphere Technologies, Flowtown.com, a bunch of failed companies. I've invested in 40 other companies like Intercom, Hootsuite, Udemy, Unbounce, and now I coach hundreds of the best software entrepreneurs around the world that want to step up their game. So
that's awesome. Yeah. And you also invested in a CrossFit gym because I know I used to own some CrossFit
gyms. I do.
Gyms.
I have some local some local investments just to keep my mind going. Yeah.
Or makes it, then you're like, all right, I have to go work out.
Totally.
Because I own part of it.
Yeah,
so, you know,
that's super cool. It's a good forcing function.
Yeah. Well, give us a little insight because I know obviously you've owned a lot of companies, you're invested in a lot. Tell us about some of the challenges, you know, obviously. You know, whether it was Clarity or Flow or any of these ones that you started that you've worked and utilized to help grow and get you where you
are today. Yeah, so, I mean, first off, I want everybody to know that, like, I've struggled. I just didn't quit. Like, I mean, that is, when people are like, oh, do you ever have down moments? I'm like, every day. I mean, there's, if you're pushing on the world to change, there's going to be some pushback and friction. I've had every friggin' scenario from, you know, employment issues to being sued to, you know, having our product shut down. I was building Flowtown. We found out that the data API we were using, Facebook changed some things and essentially made our product go to zero. And this is right after raising almost $1 million in venture capital and, you know, and having this crazy growth ramp that is, you know, we had to reset the product and go back to the whiteboard. So, I mean, if I think of like the lessons that have allowed me to kind of move forward is I have one belief. It's like one of my manifesto kind of beliefs is become the person who can deal. And I just always, anytime I face a challenge, I always ask myself is, who do I need to become to deal with this?
Right.
Because if you are driven for more and you want to succeed in life, then really there's just the next level at every stage, and you're going to have to figure that out to go to that next level. So no matter what the challenge, I just really try to flip it around and say, what's the opportunity for me to learn and grow? Because we don't grow when we get what we expect.
Sure.
Right. Right? So, yeah. So I think it's like, if you can flip that belief, anyways, that's what it is for me, is I'm in, there's an opportunity ahead of me to learn right now. So don't kind of, you know, shy in the face of that challenge, but lean into it.
Yeah, I know, that's really good, because a lot of times we hit that and we get that pushback and we're like, oh man, that's just, I don't like that.
We got
to
condition ourselves to then push back again. Like that to me is, you know, I just feel lucky that I figured out my why at a fairly young age. You know, I felt like somebody was looking out for me and saved my life. And my driving force from that point on was, I'm not going to I want to honor their support, whoever, right. You know, that higher power, whoever's looking out for me. And every day is just like, how can I give back? How can I do more? How can I be a positive example of what's possible? And it sounded so weird in the early days because I was like, who am I? I mean, I'm a drug addict teenager with no education. And it really took me literally 15 years to finally really own that,
wow.
That identity.
Okay.
Yeah, I never shared that story with anybody for 15 years. Yeah.
And what, I guess, what was that catalyst that kind of like made you like, all right, I feel like I really just need to start sharing this? And
well, so I mean, the moment was I was speaking at an event called Mastermind Talks. This is mm-hmm. year one. Nobody knew who Jason Gaynard is, even though now he's one of the most connected people
right.
in the world. Before I got on, I was going to do a talk around like marketing. And he said, hey, I just want to let you know that we're doing a speaker competition. Whoever gives the best talks gets $25,000 for their charity of their choice.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, well, I'm not going to win $25,000 talking about growth hacking. So, but I knew, I had the story, and it's a lot longer than the 30
sure.
seconds and some of the challenges. But I decided to go back to my hotel room and just kind of map out, you know, how do I want to tell it, and just make sure I could tell it in a way where I wouldn't fall apart on
right.
stage, because I never shared this, and it's very emotional. And so, anyways, I went and did that, came back. And a funny story, my wife comes up, or fiance at the time, she comes up to me and she said, hey, my parents are in town. They wanted to surprise you. They're coming to your talk. And I was like, and she had never even heard this story.
I kind of was getting that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I
she
was...
never knew the story. Her parents
wow.
definitely didn't. And all I said is, babes, just don't let them leave until I have a chance to talk to them. She's like, why? I was like, you'll see. And yeah, I owe a lot to Jason, because what happened for me is, you know, Tim, Ferris is in the audience,
right.
one of my mentors, Mark
one.
Echo. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like them coming up to me later and saying, man, I've known you for a few years and I didn't even have a clue. And even more importantly, people coming up to me and saying, hey, I just want to say how much I appreciate you being so honest, because I went through something similar. Right? And
that's
it doesn't,
awesome.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I think that was like, I want to show up like that in the world and connect with people like that.
Right.
Yes, I want to give them the best strategies and content, but I care more about them knowing who I am and what drives me. Because since I was 17, I got sober. Every like 3 or 4 months, I go and visit this rehab center that saved my life to work with the kids. Like,
oh,
it was
awesome.
It was a big part of my life that nobody knew about, not
sure.
even my best friends.
Wow. No, that's awesome. Because I mean, as entrepreneurs, I mean, fortunately, I haven't been through that part of, you know, that process or having to deal with any of that. But I know a lot of entrepreneurs out there. I mean, somebody I was interviewing the other day, they're like, man, 3 of your friends, XYZ, they're, you know, in this states right now. And I'm like, whoa. And then a good friend of mine, you know, his dad just, you know, took his own life and everything. So there's a lot of people. So those kind of stories that where you're at allow people to connect and be able to say, wow, man, how do I get out of that place?
Totally. And that's why I share the story. And then the fun part for me is taking that and then using entrepreneurship as a forcing function to really grow the individuals, right? So I work a lot with at-risk youth. I also work with incarcerated adults. And, you know, I think entrepreneurship is just this great vehicle of self-reflection and opportunity.
Sure.
That that is kind of like it's the Trojan horse to get people into betterment.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You're like, oh, hey, here's this over here.
Yeah, you can go
but...
make money. And guess what? By making money, you have to grow
here.
As an
yeah.
individual.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why
or you can't maintain
yeah.
it for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Become the person who can deal. Yeah.
That's awesome. Some super coolness that I love about you, and I know we're pretty similar in that way, is how you you got kids, and so how you integrate your kids in the whole kind of entrepreneurial experience. And and it's super cool because I've been talking about it for a while, and I happened to catch a video of yours. I'm like, wait a minute, is Dan copying me? Because he's talking about integration. Yeah. And you know, one of the biggest things, like back when my daughter was first born in 08, I'm like, man, trying to figure out how to balance things just does not work, because you're always teetering, or if you're sitting here and you're trying to get that teeter-totter to stay balanced, you're struggling so much and so much energy. How can I integrate in what we do, you know, complete integration in business and everything we do as a family and everything? And I honor and admire that about you. That's something else that you're doing. I love to hear kind of some of your insights on that and what you guys do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just think of life as like a one thing, right? Like if you think about it back, like when people had farms and you had kids, right, to kind of put them to work, like there was no separation.
No.
Like you're like the son of a farmer and you worked on the farm.
Wow, and bale hay.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, don't talk to me about the farm task at the dinner table. Like that's, it's so weird. So I just take that same approach. And then I think the big things that are unique is I look at what made me successful in business and ask me, sure, how can I apply those things to my family and my personal life. So we do a lot of things, my wife and I, and I think choosing the right partner, like choosing the
for
right,
sure,
business partner, that's number one. I can't fix that problem. But if you have somebody that's on the same page and wants to have more out of life and integrate and whatnot, one, we do a weekly family meeting.
Okay.
Called the Martell Clan meeting every Friday, usually right before lunch. And it's half an hour. It's a very structured agenda, no different than you would use with your team.
Business, yeah.
Yeah. So we do that. We do quarterly couples retreats, which is quarterly planning.
Cool.
Yeah. But we integrate the family stuff. Health-wise, like it's a big priority. So, you know, my kids have been coming to my CrossFit gym, yep, watch us work out since they were babies. And then I travel with them. They were here yesterday at the event.
That's
watching
awesome.
Me on stage. And, you know, we'll do like work in the morning and Legoland in the afternoon, or I don't know. Like I just never wanted it to be a separation. And when I've thought that was the right answer, it never worked. And it just doesn't work for me.
I just
want to like make my life, be more of a representation of who I am at my core, and just like allow that flow to happen. Because I also think, like from a productivity point of view, energy is more important than task. And I think that setting the big vision and being able to hold that with the right like focus and passion and energy is way more important than trying to, you know, a schedule and time block. All those things are things that I do. I care more about the structure of the day. So I,
sure,
don't need a vacation. My you know what I mean?
Right,
like
I know.
Like
that's
there's
the way
no burnout.
Yeah.
Like when you actually can design your life where it's integrated, the recharges are in the day, in the week,
right?
So that's the way I think about it.
That's awesome. And if you don't mind sharing, you know, I always like to kind of unpack a little bit. What do you guys kind of cover in that 30-minute family meeting?
Yeah, so a lot of cool stuff. One,
and your kids are involved with that too, right?
No, this one,
okay,
is not the family with them. I do board meetings with my kids.
Okay.
But even those are separate, but let's do the weekly.
Yeah, because yours are a little bit younger than mine, but...
Yeah, so in the weekly meeting, we do a score. So we actually ask ourselves on four dimensions. For me, it's husband, father, lover, and provider.
Okay.
1 out of 5.
Okay.
I can't get a score less than 16. If we do,
okay,
we got to fix something. and we do it every Friday. Even if I'm traveling, we'll get on a call and just go through it. Yeah, and she's got her equivalent for her stuff.
Okay.
We do quarterly goals. We actually review like our personal goals in regards to health,
so you have
and family,
personal goals,
community.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually have core values as a family. So
awesome.
we then,
yeah,
measure on a scale of 1 to 10 on each value how we're doing for that week.
Cool.
And then we always take our lowest score and add some action items for the following week. I mean, again, I just, this is business 101.
Sure.
We just apply it to our family. But the things that are unique, I guess, is, oh, we review the next 6 weeks of travel. Right,
oh, okay,
as busy,
sure,
entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
She's an incredible entrepreneur.
Well, yeah, because she has her own business,
yeah,
so
we literally just every Friday have to resync on that. You know, here's what's changed in the last 5 days.
Right.
And I think, and then we have a bunch of other stuff, but also the discussion is really important. Here's why is, throughout the week, if there's something I need to talk to her about, I just add it to the discussions list.
Mm-hmm.
So that way,
oh,
it's not add on. Yes,
okay.
So here's the problem is that if somebody's like, oh, honey, on the 10th of next month, I'm going to this thing. It's out of context. They're in the kitchen. They've got nothing to write it down on. Like, why would you review
like
calendar?
Yeah.
So we do all
that's
that
awesome
stuff in the meeting so that in context, we have like what's going on.
Right.
And it avoids a lot of, I don't remember you telling me that.
Sure.
I mean, I think most of people's arguments is because there's just a lack of communication. So we just have a clear place where things go, how we review it, and make sure that we don't drop the ball. And it's a process you can iterate. I'm a software guy. I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
You know, so agile always... development, you know, Scrum. You guys can Google those terms. I mean, so that to me, it just fit into the way I like to approach life.
That's cool. Yeah, and I like the whole thing about with just the talking points list or the discussion, because you do. You're like, oh, yeah, hey, what do you have coming? Oh, yeah, do-do-do-do. And they miss part of it or whatever. I know my wife, like, oh, hey, you know, you didn't tell me. I'm like, oh, I did. We went over that. Mm-hmm. You know, but having that set time and that list that you go through, I think, is awesome. Yeah. So I'm adding that to my process as
awesome.
Well. So what kind of things, like, I guess, what do you do with your kids then?
Yeah, so the
because you can't do like a little board meeting.
Yeah, right? So we do quarterly board meetings. A book called The Family Board Meeting by Jim Shields.
Right.
So I've been doing that since the boys were like 2 years old and really didn't even could choose what they wanted to do. So it was like pretty straightforward. But I mean,
now
the
they do.
So the concept. Oh, now they're like, oh, we're adding that to our next board meeting. They've got it figured out. Like they're like trying to stack as much stuff because the idea is just having a place one on one for them mm-hmm. on a cadence, right?
Sure.
So some people are like, I can't believe you need to schedule time with your kids. I'm like, would you back off? Like I don't need to. I spend a lot of time with my kids because we homeschool and we travel.
Yeah.
But for me, it's like, I want the one-on-one time and I mm-hmm. want it in the calendar and I want to create a ritual and a routine and the space now so that when they're, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, that it's part of the way we are as a family. So
right.
that when, and look, I've already started asking some, you know, fairly serious questions during those board meetings. So essentially it's 3 hours of whatever they want to do, followed by a meal.
Okay.
And it's a discussion. Phone goes off. There's no social media. There's no nothing. And it's one-on-one time.
Cool.
So I'll usually do a board meeting and it's, and this is in my calendar, locked and loaded. You cannot move it.
Right.
Right. And I'll do, usually it's back to back weeks on Sundays. And it's just been amazing. And my wife does the opposite. We have two kids, so she'll
rotate. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. We just started doing that. So, and the kids are like, oh yeah, you know, they look forward to it and everything.
Oh well, yeah. Cause it's their
plan it all out.
And
my boys are eight. My daughter's 10. So
we did, but. We did bowling. Sky Zone, I mean, party play, park, whatever play thing, all in like, it was crazy the amount of stuff he wanted to do.
Jammed it all in
3 hours. Oh, he was like, that's what crazy. Else can I add? Oh, we're going to the arcades too. I mean, okay, let's do it.
That's super cool. Cause it is, you're right. Cause like, you know, you have two, I have three and you're trying to get that one-on-one time, but they're not, cause they're always playing and hanging out and doing
and
things.
And even myself, and, man, if it's not, and I love, it's like a ritual of like, here's my phone. Let's turn it off together.
You're right.
And let's go do the thing.
Yep. No, that's super cool. So you've run a bunch of different teams and things like that and built a lot of different businesses.
Yeah, 500 employees over my career.
Man.
Yeah, huge companies.
Because like right now we're building our team for Prime Life Organics and everything. We're around 35 people and we do all of our own manufacturing, customer service, fulfillment, marketing. It's all right in-house.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you've found that have made it super successful for you? One, with hiring, and then two, culture and building the teams.
Yeah, so one, I think I'm all about like high, you know, exponential growth and high growth companies. So one is companies that can grow their leaders the fastest grow the fastest.
Okay.
And like, let that settle, write that
down.
Yeah,
I'm listening. Yeah, I'm like feeling
that. Yeah, it's the companies that actually have a process for developing leaders fast are mm-hmm. the ones going to grow fast, because if you expect to be able to pay the premium to hire that, you know, A-plus player or C-level hire for whatever that
sure.
thing is in day one, it just doesn't make sense. And I learned that being in Silicon Valley and seeing how the fastest companies mm-hmm. grow, because they do not do that.
Right.
Like they literally, it's a bunch of 20-year-olds that are just really high IQ and intelligent and motivated that just iterate and figure it out, right?
Gotcha.
And what they do is they allow people to take on projects that seem above their abilities, but then if they step up and do it, they keep the role. If they don't, they don't. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm a big fan of training. I think that's a big opportunity, especially at your scale.
Sure.
That needs to be built into the way you guys kind of develop and onboard team members.
So what kind of process or what, I guess maybe top 3 points would you have for developing a leadership process?
Yeah, so I'll give you three. Yeah. The one is no one kind of executive leader should have more than 7 direct reports. So that's one.
Okay.
So if you have more than 7 people that report to you, you should try to clean that up.
Okay.
Every week you should be doing at least a 20, 25 minute one-on-one with them.
With a manager.
With the direct report.
The direct report.
Yeah. Okay. So that should just be and really leave it open. It could be a coffee meeting. It could be a walk and talk. It'd be whatever.
Gotcha.
But just let create the space for them to bring stuff to your attention.
Sure.
The other thing is I think people need to learn how to coach people to win and not lose. I think that a lot of leaders, if they're the founders especially, they put pressure on their team to get outcomes and they kind of step back and like see if they're going to be able to perform.
Sure.
To me, you only hurt your company.
Right.
So I'm more of a fan of saying, hey, let's be clear on the outcomes. Let's talk about how we're going to measure your progress. But then the third part is I'm going to make sure that I coach you and support you in winning at that outcome, not stepping back and waiting for the person to get themselves in trouble. And then I'm a big fan of team training. So we do a thing every month where everybody on the team can add to the list of things they want to teach the rest of the company. It's kind of like show and tell for cool stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
yeah. And it's just every month for an hour. And they're recorded. And then everybody who hasn't done one is prioritized first. But I mean, I learned about typography from our designer.
So they can teach whatever they want.
Whatever they want. So they got 10 minutes.
That's cool.
So it just, and it really creates like a sense of awareness of who's on the team and who knows what.
Right.
You create this catalog of trainings, and then what happens is in part of our onboarding for new employees, watching the backlog is actually part of that process.
So
you create this library. Yeah, they're like, oh, I didn't know Kelsey, you know, she has this really cool tip for managing your inbox.
Right.
Like, yeah, so it's, you know, it's really just allowing the team to learn. And then I would say, if I had to throw another one, is just having a kind of a career development clear outline for your leadership. Right, like saying, like, here's where we're gonna be, here's where you need to be, and let's work on a plan to get you there.
Okay.
So that nobody's ever blindsided. I think, you know, at the end of the day, you don't wanna be blindsided that, like, oh, I wasn't performing or I didn't know. It's like, we have access to incredible people and trainings.
Sure.
We need to make sure that gets pushed down through our companies.
Right. Yeah. So what? So you mentioned coaching them along that way. What does that like little part look like? To dive a little deeper.
I mean, if you've ever had a coach, it looks the exact same way.
Okay.
Yeah. So you'll ask them.
So we're doing that same way, going through the same type of questions.
You're not. See, the difference is transactional versus transformational. You don't tell them what to do.
Okay.
You coach them to an outcome.
Okay.
Right? I don't ever tell my coaching clients what they should do.
Sure.
I ask them questions that get them clear on their outcomes.
Got it.
How, and the optionality. So even one quick rule, like 1-3-1. So it's one challenge, 3 solutions, 1 recommendation.
Okay.
So as a leader, I'm not going to tell you what you do. You get a problem, you can bring it to me.
Right.
But I'm then going to ask you, what are the 3 options and which one do you think you want to lead with? And if you make that something you push down to your organization,
sure.
Because it's almost like in parenting, there was a book a friend of mine recommended, and she said that the author's argument is that our role as a parent is to make our kids not require us.
Right.
And that was like, that's a heady one. But imagine if that was the same approach you brought with your team.
Right.
My goal as a leader is to not be required by my executive team.
Sure.
Or get more leverage in that timing. And how do you do that? Well, it's you have to coach them to come to the outcome that you would have got there if you made the decision, but they made it. So I always believe 80% that's done awesome. By somebody else is 100% effing awesome.
Yeah.
Right? So like,
oh, yeah.
People are like, well, they'll never do it the same way as me. It's like, dude, anybody else doing anything at 80% is 100% freaking awesome.
For sure, yeah. Because that frees up your time.
Oh, my gosh. That's leverage.
What you do best.
Yeah. Hiring, if you want to think about building teams, the way I look at it is look at your calendar. Where do you spend time? Every new hire should buy back you time. That is the simplest, like $1 an employee should get you back, you know, whatever amount of hours. Like you want to figure out how can I buy back time from my calendar.
Sure. No, that's awesome. Cool. We just got a couple of minutes left. Mm-hmm. What's one question that you're like, Josh, man, I really wish you would ask me this, that you're like, wow, guys, I really think you need to know this because it's going to do X, Y, Z.
Number one thing that I think is required by any entrepreneur to be ridiculously successful.
Okay.
And then you want the answer?
Only unless you want to hold off.
No, I don't mind sharing it. I think that the number one is get around people that have already done the thing you're about to do.
Okay.
And it is, I don't know why people fight with this or struggle with it or don't understand it, but to me, you can call it a mentor, you can call it an advisor, you can call it a peer, you can call it whoever, right?
Right.
But if I'm going to do something, and this is just how I attack markets, I've built several companies.
Sure.
CrossFit's the same thing. I went to the number one business coach.
That's what I did too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like go find the person who's already done the thing you want to do and figure out if, and pay for access. Like I'm all about speed.
Sure.
I don't mind. I'd rather spend thousands of dollars for an hour of somebody's time that's been there and done that to show me the playbook. and allow me not to have to do any guesswork and for my circumstance and my context, get that clarity. Because content and information, people are like, oh, well, I can just listen to podcasts. Yes, you can listen to podcasts. But I'll tell you, there's a different outcome for you listening to this podcast versus talking with Josh about your specific situation. And I think that, to me, I wish I would have learned at 17. It probably took me till mid-20s and a few failed companies to finally realize, like, I need to get advice from people that have been to where I'm going and execute against that in the lack of knowledge that I had at that point.
Right. No, that's awesome. And I think it's 100% true.
Like, if regardless of anything else, reading books and going to seminars and blah, 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 or, you know, like that.
Yep. No, you're 100% right. I mean, I've always tried to do that at different pieces and times in my life with businesses and everything. And it's made a significant difference in acceleration of the business and just everything overall. So, Dan, it's such an honor to have you on the show today.
Josh, my pleasure.
Thank you,
man,
for your time, buddy.
Really appreciate it.
Super awesome insights.
Thanks again for having me.
Guys, make sure you guys are taking notes on this. Dan's dropping amazing nuggets of wisdom throughout his 30 plus years?
20. Not that old.
I'm 46. So I was like, I mean, I know Dan is close, but he's about a little younger
it's
than
the
me.
The gray hair that'll throw you off.
Yeah, and he's taller, kids. So you know.
Appreciate it.
Well, actually, it's funny is my kids equate height somehow to age.
Okay,
like,
well,
they're like,
I'm
well,
100.
Dan is like 6 foot something, so he's probably older than you. I'm like, it doesn't work that way, guys.
No.
But make sure you guys were taking lots of notes. Rewind this episode, whether you're watching, whether you're listening, pay close attention to what he's saying, whether it's about family life, whether it's about hiring his teams, growing your companies, and listen to what he's saying, because it's gonna help you make those little bits of difference that are gonna transform where you are right now in your life. So again, Dan, thanks for coming on Making Bank, my
Josh,
friend.
Josh, my pleasure, man. Thanks.
I am Josh Felber. You were watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.